You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Well, maybe you should try to get in touch with them. I got $5, says you could still get them.
Really? That's funny. I got a 10, says pass the pepper. I got 2 quarters, sing harmony on Moonlight in Vermont.
What?
Talking money.
A talking monkey?
Talking monkey, yeah. Yeah, came here from the future. Ugly sucker, only says ficus.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Your $5 ass down before I make change.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly. Think.
You dirt-eating piece of slime. You scum-sucking pig. You son of a motherless goat.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That guy in a little coat.
You stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Here we go, guys. Welcome to episode 186 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going, everyone? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys are the best. Thank you for downloading and listening. If you're listening to us on iTunes, rate and review us 5 stars. That would help us out so much, guys. You don't even know. Stitcher Radio, you can also rate us and review us there. I don't know how much that helps. I'm sure it does. But we're looking for them iTunes ratings. But if you're on Stitcher, if you're listening, check us out there. ChrisCrespo.com. Also, you go directly to the website and share the website with people. There's reviews there, Netflix picks of the weeks, and things like that. Check it out, as well as back episodes of Cinema Crespo. So, ladies and gentlemen, with me as always is the co-host and co-producer, the one and only Drewster Cogburn.
What up, bro?
What's up, Drew, dude?
Dude, it's another day, another dollar.
Another day, another dollar, dog.
I haven't made any. Well, actually, I made some money.
You made dollars today.
I made dollars. Holla.
Holla for dollars. All the single dollars. How you doing?
I'm good doing, man.
Good. That's good. Glad to hear it.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Are you sure about that?
I'm chilling. Chilling, drinking. I had 2 Swamp Ape double IPAs before the show started. So forgive the sloppiness ahead of time. We have a returning guest.
Nobody.
No, we have a returning guest. Hasn't been seen in a while. But it's back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Space Pen is back. The Space Pen is back, Drew!
You found it?
Found the Space Pen. Look at that baby. Still writes great. Writes upside down. It writes underwater. It's made for space. NASA sells them for like $2 each or something stupid cheap like that. You can have one. We're not sponsored by Space Pen. I just love it and I found it. Sorry, guys. Sometimes things get a little crazy over here and they malfunction because Space Pen is so cool. Everyone's so excited by it. So, Drew, it's just you and I. It is middle of the summer. It's too hot for anyone to drive all the way out here into the middle of nowhere to get on the boat with us in the middle of international waters where the sun is just beating down on us because we do this out on the deck, out on the sun. We could do this inside in the cabin. There's like air conditioning in there, but we're out here just sweating on this deck of this old rickety yacht that we got cheap at that police auction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's served its purpose so far. I mean, we've weathered a few storms.
We weathered a number of storms.
There was that rogue wave, and let me tell you, what?
That was bad. Episode 122, check that one out, Rogue Wave. If you listen carefully, you can find the edit where Rogue Wave comes like right in the middle of the episode, sort of, and we had to stop, survive the wave, Perfect Storm style, and then go back to recording the show. I think that was 122. You guys can find it. This boat has served its purpose. We might have to sink it soon. We'll see Viking. But, you know, in the meantime, that's why we've been able to play all this awesome copywritten music that we're not paying for, et cetera, et cetera. And, yeah. I don't know where we're going with that. Where are you going with that, Drew? Where are we going with that?
I don't know. Where are we going with that, Chris?
Where are we going with that? What are you drinking over there? What's that concoction you got?
Got a mixture of Jones's Cream Soda and Limoncello. So it tastes like a lemonhead, like the candy. It's very sweet and lemony and gets you drunk.
Jones Cream Soda. Mm-hmm. That pure cane sugar.
Pure cane sugar. Yeah, the cream soda because it's clear.
And limoncello?
I mean,
that, a lemon liqueur? What is that?
Limoncello, it's a lemon liqueur. It's about 35% alcohol.
Okay.
The Jones Cream Soda. I mean,
what are we talking ratio here? If people want to play along with the Drew Sacogren drinking game.
One-third, two-thirds, one-third booze, two-thirds soda.
Okay, so one-third booze, two-thirds soda.
I mean, if you're a seasoned drinker, you can easily go half and half.
Half and half.
But I like my drinks not, like, tasting of alcohol.
Sure, fair enough, absolutely. What do you call that drink? You call it the Lemonhead?
Lemonhead.
Drewster's Lemonhead?
Yes.
Drewster and the Lemonheads. That's your 80s revival new wave band, isn't it? Drewster and the Lemonheads?
Drewster and the Lemonheads.
Where you play the Casio keyboard and you do backwards covers of Rush songs?
Correct.
Favorite Rush songs? Will you play them backwards? Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, expect much more of this for the next 90 minutes or so. Here we go. It is time for the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, which means I gotta hit this thing, this button over here, and then go over here, and then this button where to go. With, we gotta turn the volume up, and then, oh yes. We've got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go, guys. It's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week time. Drew Cogburn uses the Crespity Serendomizer 9000, which randomly lets us know every week what we're going to be watching on the Netflix. Last week, it was the Stanley Kubrick masterpiece, Eyes Wide Shut. The week before that, the fantastic documentary, Best of Enemies. Drew, get us started. What were we looking at for episode 186?
Chris, this movie is from
2015.
It is rated R.
Okay.
It is 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Kind of long. It's not a short one. It's demanding your attention.
It is a comedy, dark comedy, drama based on book. This movie is exciting and cerebral.
Okay. Let's unpack this. So it's a drama, dark drama, comedy. You know, comedy, dark comedy, drama. Based on a book, R-rated, from last year. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
It's exciting and cerebral.
Was it a like a wide release?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's a big popular movie. It's a big one.
I'll give you one hint.
Please, Drew.
Margot Robbie in a bathtub.
Oh, The Big Short. I don't know why that button.
And it's funny, when you actually watch the movie The Big Short, you wouldn't think Margot Robbie in a bathtub, but it's totally appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is based on a book. Though the book itself, it's not like it's a narrative book. Well, I mean, the way it's written in a way to be entertaining, so it's written as narratively as possible. But it is a book about the facts of what happened during the 2007-2008 market crash, housing market crash in the U.S., how it affected worldwide economy, et cetera, et cetera. And the few people who saw it come in and took advantage of it in different ways. Fantastic. Fantastic movie. Directed by the guy who did the Anchorman movies and Talladega Nights and Step Brothers.
I was surprised how good the movie was and how competent he was as a director. I mean, when you think, I guess,
like the ideas he brought to the table.
Yeah, but he for being a very serious film about a
serious topic.
It is a dark.
I would.
It is dark comedy.
You say dark comedy. Yeah. I would call it many parts of it dark comedy.
Oh, definitely, sure. Because it's the truth and it's what happened.
And it's the type of thing where you have to laugh to keep from screaming or crying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But you know, as serious as the topic was, you could tell that this guy was more comfortable doing comedies because it was awfully funny for...
Because he leaned that way for many stories and characters. Ryan Gosling got to do a lot of comedic stuff in this movie.
Everybody did.
But obviously, I'm pointing to... It's one of those things where he is... it's like, this and Nice Guys. Got that Nice Guys poster over there. It's like, that and Nice Guys are the two movies where he's like, look, I can do comedy too. I got comedic timing. I can be funny.
He does.
In the right setting, in the right in the right usage.
Yes.
Steve Carell, who's pretty great, pretty much, in many things that he does. Great in this. Who else is in it? We got...
Steve Carell, Christian Bale.
Christian Bale plays that guy, the guy with the Asperger's,
yeah, the weirdo,
the financial weirdo.
But well, the financial genius, social weirdo,
He's got Asperger's, man. It's come on, it's a thing. Yeah. Weirdo's kind of.
I mean, he's got a wife.
He's a bit of a weirdo. Yeah, in many ways, he is much more socially adjusted than many people that we know, i.e., us. But good for him. He's also mega rich.
Yes.
And spoiler alert: the movie ends with this like super rich guy being like, "Oh, the next thing to keep an eye on is water. Like, I'm investing in water because that's what's going to be scarce." And then the other guy, Brad Pitt's character, he's like, "Water is also." He's got like a whole bunch of things on his wall about water and shit. So the movie is very much.
And you should. And this is
the next market.
I mean, it's the truth. Related. I mean, Nestle is trying to privatize water as we speak.
Motherfuckers saying that we don't have a natural right to goddamn water. Our bodies are 70% water.
We will die without water far sooner than we will die without food.
We came from the water. Yeah. I come from the water. Damn. And Nestle's trying to be like, no, fuck you, Nestle. You just make my milk chocolate and then back the fuck up from the goddamn water. You know what I mean? That's some fucked up shit. That's some Crespi so after show type stuff. I don't think there's no after show really today. So
Brad Pitt's also in the movie?
Yes, and he's playing the character who's like, he helps the younger guys take advantage of this hole they see in the system that's coming up where they can make money on betting against the housing market. And he kind of does it just because he's like, you know, these guys want to be rich, so fuck it. Fuck the system. Fuck them. And he's like...
They found a way to do it. This is all completely legal. They're just betting against the house. That's all.
And he's a character who seems like he's comfortable enough where like, well, I'm not going to make money off it, but I'm not hurting for money right now, and I know it's all going to shit anyway, so I'm not really fucking...
Exactly.
Yeah. It's an interesting character that who he plays.
He's more of a facilitator than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. The way he keeps it morally ambiguous for himself unattached. At one point, he dresses the two young guys down.
Well, no,
for their
reaction
to the housing market crashing.
That's what I'm saying. He definitely understood the situation more than the kids did.
Right. Yeah. You know the implications.
So when they were going all crazy, he's like, listen, this is the reality of. Yes, you just made a bunch of money, but this is how that money was made.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. And he's just like, you guys are getting rich, but a lot of people are going to be hurting. And then this movie it shows people hurting too, because that's very much what it's about. A lot, people kind of wrongfully, I believe, dinged the Wolf of Wall Street for not showing the old people at the table looking at their bank statements and be like, oh, we've been bilked. Ooh, you know, because the Wolf of Wall Street's not about them. Mm-mm. It's about the titular Wolf of Wall Street. You know, it's right there in the title. It's about this fucking asshole. It's based on his memoir. His memoir didn't talk about the poor little people sitting at the table. So why would the movie?
Well, exactly. He didn't care about them.
Exactly. And that right there is damning enough about the dude. You don't need to see the victims to be like, fuck this guy. You should just see what the guy is doing and already be like, fuck him. You don't need to see the victims as well. That just becomes then like depression porn.
Yeah,
you know, at that point. But The Big Short does want to show you the families that get put out and like they do, like some of the real victims too, like people who are tenants paying landlords. The landlords aren't paying the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Then they find themselves being kicked out,
even though they've been doing their part.
Yeah, because they're the tenants, man. Yeah. And then they get kicked down the street. That fucking sucks, bro. You know, and it's an interesting movie. To help get you through this topic, there are things like Margot Robbie.
In a bathtub.
And a bubble bath. Sipping champagne. Explaining why, like, dividends or something. Or
exactly.
The Selena Gomez and, like, some old dude.
Brample.
And who else? Or someone else. Oh, Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
Comparing bad stock to bad fish being sold on Sundays.
Correct.
Yeah. Don't buy fish on Sundays at a restaurant. When you go to a restaurant on Sunday and they're like, today's special is a shrimp with the salmon and the side of crab.
Do not get it.
Dude, order the steak. Well done.
It came in on Friday.
It actually came in on Wednesday. Like, we're trying to get rid of this. It stinks. It's ruining. Here we go, guys. Time for a new box office recap. Drew, where are we starting our top five?
Actually, number five.
Number
five this week was Lights Out.
Lights Out.
$10.8 million for a total of
$42.8 million for Lights Out already?
Yeah, man.
What was the budget? $10
million?
4.9. Woo! That's so good. That's how you make that money with the horror movies. You gotta write that horror script, dude.
We do.
And then make that horror movie to make that horror money.
Hell yeah.
What's the number four movie?
Number four, The Secret Life of Pets, made $18.2 million, total of $296.
Secret Life of Pets?
Yeah.
How much money did they make?
$18.2 million.
For a total of what? $296. That's a lot of money, Drew. Almost $300 million in what, only 3 weeks?
Budget is $75 million, yeah.
3 weeks, right?
No, four.
4 weeks. A month. Still. There was a couple years ago where there were only like four $300 million movies for the entire year. I think it was 2014. It was like American Sniper, which made most of that money in 2015, right? Technically, it came out in December 2014. The Hunger Games movie that came out that year and Guardians of the Galaxy were like the only three movies that made $300 million. This year, we had like Deadpool, Finding Dory.
Yeah. Secret Life of Pets
is going to hit it. Jungle Book. Secret Life of Pets is definitely going to hit it, which is why I'm talking about this. Like five,
Captain
six,
America Civil War.
Yes, that made so much goddamn money.
Zootopia.
That's right, Zootopia. Disney is
$341 million.
Disney is killing it this year with making... And we still
all
have,
the money.
We still have Star Wars to come out towards the end of the year. Doctor Strange, the marketing for that has been solid. That could actually make
all of the movies that are still in theaters that have made over $300 million are Disney movies.
And how many movies are that right now?
Okay, we've got... You can count them down with me.
Count them down.
Zootopia.
Zootopia number one.
That's number one. Captain America Civil War.
Number two.
The Jungle Book.
Three
is also Disney
movies.
Finding Dory.
That's four motherfucking Disney movies.
Secret Life of Pets.
Motherfucking Disney did not make that goddamn movie.
That's the only one then.
But still. So five movies that are still in theaters. Because Jungle Book is like in second run theaters right now. Making over $300 million minimum. And there's still a bunch of movies left to come out this year that could crack that. And the funny thing is, Drew, because it has been a weak movie. Take two. The thing is, Drew, and you pointed this out last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, it has been a weak summer.
Yes.
And kind of sort of a weak movie year overall, for the most part.
For the big movies.
The Hollywood stuff. The Hollywood stuff is lacking.
The movies that you see the trailers for, where everyone's like, oh God, I can't wait till this comes out.
The things you're expecting to be great were not.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, pretty bad. And then some things like Deadpool have been surprising. So awesome. People have been popping up, right? But the narrative this year, Drew, and all the media and the Hollywood marketing press, like your Hollywood Reporter, Variety, et cetera, it's all been about how blockbusters, sequels, and remakes are not making so much money, and, you know, ticket sales are down, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But then there's these movies that make so much goddamn money. So it's, beware, the moral of the story is beware of reading about movie trends in box office and box office money. Year to year, summer to summer, stuff like that. Beware of those types of stories, especially the Sky is Falling type stories. They're usually bullshit. It's amazing. The movie industry, Drew, can you name another industry in America that has been more successful, popular, profitable over the years? That is an American industry outside of cinema. Outside of movies.
Repeat the question.
I said, Drew, can you name an American industry that's bigger than cinema, bigger than movies? No, that's it. It's our number one. We've been doing.
Entertainment. I would say maybe the music industry.
The entertainment industry as a whole, culture is what is our number one export. What we've been doing for over 100 years. Isn't that pretty? That's something, man. That's incredible. What was that? What were we talking about? Guy, welcome to episode 186 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo. With me is Drew Skyward. Drew, how's it going, Drew?
What up, bro?
With me is Space Pen. We're drinking beers and Lemonheads. Drew Cochran and the Lemonheads are here. They're going to be playing at halftime. There's a new single, Fuck You, I Am the Lemon Man, parentheses, Drew Cochran's Lament, close parentheses. Yeah, it's off the Sweet Sounds of Drew Cochran Volume 3 coming out this fall, right?
Sure.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. I like that Volume 2 remix.
It's good stuff.
With the Miami Vice cover. The blue and the pink.
The cyan and the magenta.
Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is... What was it?
The Big Short.
The Big Short. It's a great movie, guys. Check it out. It's a great number 5 movie. What was number 5 movie?
Why are we doing this all over? Lights out. Number 4 was Secret Life of Pets. Now we're on to number 3, Chris. Bad Moms. $23.4 million. Stand the total. Just opened. It's 64% quote unquote fresh on the Tomatometer.
What's the average rating though?
It's 5.8.
So that's like, that sounds like a middle of the road. It's like Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Yes. I would say probably in the same. You know,
like I would rent both those movies on Redbox at the same time and watch them back to back just to sort of like get them over with. Let's watch the dude centric one and then the chick centric version of how would you classify these movies? People being bad, because Mike and Dave New Wedding Dates is the same thing.
Yeah, brothers being bad brothers.
Brothers being bad.
Bad brothers at a wedding.
And also meeting their match and two friends, two chicks that are also being like even worse. It's like bad brothers and even worse chicks, even worse dates, and then bad moms. It's the same stupid genre. And what is the consensus around Tomatoes? Because we didn't see this.
Bad Moms boasts a terrific cast and a welcome twist on a domestic comedy, and they're often enough to compensate for the movie's unfortunate inability to take full advantage of its assets.
That sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. That's why we didn't see it. Number 2!
Number 2!
Star Trek Beyond Boring. $24 million. Oh, total gross, $105 million. For a budget of $185.
Shots fired. Producer Gogber making it known. Not a fan of Star Trek Beyond. Meanwhile, I actually thought it was the best one of all the new ones. I'm also not really a Star Trek fan. Are you, Drew?
No.
So, there you go. That tells you nothing. But go back and listen to last week's episode. We talked about Star Trek then, along with our guest, Amy Drew Thompson, the Notorious ADT.
And number one.
Number one.
Jason Bourne.
Oh, shit.
You know his name. $60 million, total of 60, budget of 120. Yes, I do know his name, Chris. His name is Jason Bourne, colon, David Webb, colon, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, colon, The Martian Bought a Zoo.
Sure. He did.
Those are Matt Damon movies.
Yeah, I know.
Goodwill Martian.
Bought a zoo.
Bought a zoo.
Born.
Ultimatum. Talented Mr. Okay. So we saw Jason Bourne.
Yes.
And
Jason Boring.
What was that? What happened?
The shaky cam for the first time actually bothered me.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that good. If anyone does shaky cam well, it's Paul Greengrass. But yeah,
it seemed like
was anything special.
Everyone was phoning it in. And I will tell you what,
in a weird way,
Matt Damon and Vincent Cassell, that old man fight at the end was two old men fighting.
How old is Vincent Cassell? Because Matt Damon's in his 40s, mid 40s.
Vincent Cassell looks like he's in his 50s.
Is Matt Damon older or younger than Ben Affleck?
Ooh, I'm gonna go with younger.
Because Ben Affleck is like 43, 44. Yeah. So Matt Damon's gotta be 41, 42.
Yeah.
And this is an age where Liam Neeson is 59 to 60.
Yeah.
But doing action movies for a few years. He's on the end of that road.
Liam Neeson looks a lot better than Vincent Cassell does.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking at Vincent Cassell's goddamn age. Keanu Reeves, now 51 when he did John Wick. He's going to be 52 when the next one comes out.
He looks like he's in his early 40s.
He does look like he's in cool.
And the only reason why he looks like he's in his 40s is because he has a goddamn beard. If he would shave that thing, he'd probably look like he was in his 30s.
All right, you want to blow your mind? Picture Senator Ted Cruz, that pudgy face, too. You want to punch him right in the face? Picture Jared Leto, that young-looking gentleman. Jared Leto is older than Ted Cruz.
What?
Look at your eyes. Your eyes just like almost popped out of your head. Dude, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Jared Leto is like a year or two old. He's like 45, 46.
Jared Leto's 46? What?
He's like stupid old.
Holy dude, that motherfucker looks like he's in his mid-20s still.
He looks like he fell ass backwards into the Fountain of Youth and then he walked out like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm now a rock star and a movie star. Seriously. And an Oscar winner.
What
and
the hell?
Did he win for Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah, I think he did.
It's like if you either play half retard, don't go full retard. No. Play half retard, transgender, dying of AIDS helps a lot.
Yes.
Or what's the other? Get you an award. If you do some sort of good accent work, that helps. Vincent Cassell is was married to Monica Bellucci. They divorced in 2013, which means, dude, Michael Bellucci back on the market.
Sweet.
Yeah, dude, I'm going in. I'm swooping in if I can track her down. I am a fan. God damn it. Well, Vincent Cassell's old. That's what Google says.
Mm-hmm.
He is 49 years old. 49-year-old Vincent Cassell, 40-something-year-old. So if you want to see a couple of 40-year-olds, almost a 50-year-old, fist fight with shaky cam. And at one point, Matt Damon's like, ah! Then
and Vincent Cassell's all like, ugh!
It's like, oh, I'm French. This is the movie for you. People who have Hulu, here's the thing. Criterion movies used to be on Netflix a few years ago, and then they made a deal with Hulu. Goddamn you, Hulu. People who have Hulu, there's the whole Criterion collection is on there. Whatever they have streaming is on fucking Hulu. There's a movie called La Haine. It's French. H-A-I-N-E. Drew, do you know what that means? You're the guy who knows the French. Haine, La Haine, H-A-I-N-E.
Nope.
The Hate. The Hate is the name of this movie. It's from the 90s. Vincent Cassell. It's kind of the movie that broke him, like on the indie scene. It's a low-budget French film, and it's about like disenfranchised Parisian youths, teenagers. It's sort of a French version, Paris version of Juice, because it's a couple dudes who like find a gun, and they're running around one day with a gun. In Paris, and it's like kind of thing that takes place over the course of one night, and it's like kind of like a super gritty type of 90s type thing. It's really cool. La Haine, people, Hulu, check it out. But check us out. Back to Jason Bourne. That's how good Jason Bourne is. I want to talk about La Haine. Jason Bourne is.
That's it.
It's such a boring movie. So apparently the movie's about Jason Bourne trying to find out about that apparently his dad, who four movies in, this is the first we're hearing about his parents, and anyway, his dad had something to do with an old program, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other subplot where this company called Deep Dream, which is like a Facebook stand-in, they were founded with CIA money, and the CIA wants backdoor info on all the users.
Yeah.
And then these two plot lines, Damon, Jason Bourne, a.k.a. David Webb, trying to find out about his dad's involvement in the company, his dad's murder. Again, the first time we're hearing about this. Him investigating that barely intersects with this whole story about the Deep Dream and the privacy issues of the internet and the CAI is actually a thing, Drew. CAI is the Community Association Institute of America. I don't know if those are the right initials, but it's a community homeowner association thing. Don't worry about that. CIA working with a social media, Google, Facebook type of company, that whole thing. But all of that was like barely developed. There's a scene early on. Do you remember the scene, Drew? Oh shit, my space pen.
Space pen.
Do you remember the scene where a dude started going into his presentation on his company? It was like this is the next thing we have to roll out. He was like on stage in front of a bunch of people. Do you remember that scene?
Not really.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, because I was just saying, well, that's telling. Second, I was just saying that was a scene where I was like, oh my God, are we really watching a presentation about a fake internet company and this guy talking about...
Yes, we are.
Like a fake TED Talk? Are we really going to watch this?
Yes, we are.
It's a boring movie.
It is. It's really boring.
Is there anything you liked about it?
It's very...
anything you liked. You must have liked something.
What's her face?
Julia Stiles.
Yes. When spoiler alert.
No spoilers. No spoilers, Drew.
She gets smacked in the face with a wall.
No.
When the wall smacked her in the face, that was pretty cool. That's all I'm saying.
Ah.
I can't say she gets smacked in the face with a wall.
Okay.
So, here we go.
Smacked in the face.
So, Drewster Cogburn is here. episode 186.
Are we starting from the beginning? We're not restarting this.
I can start from the beginning.
No.
It's so funny where it's the type of thing where, like, for years, like, we're not going to go back to Jason Bourne. We're not going to make another one of these movies. And they're like, oh, we have an idea. We have something that's so good that the director, Paul Greengrass, is going to come back. Matt Damon is going to come back. We're making another one. This is what's going to bring us back. And then it ends up being by far the worst one of all of them. It was even worse than the Bourne Legacy with the Jeremy Renner one done by Tony Gilroy.
Yeah.
I like that one better. I would rather have seen the sequel to that movie than this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Furthering Adventures of what's that? Aaron Cross was that guy's name. Aaron Cross. Did you remember that, Drew?
No.
And Rachel Weisz. The Furthering Adventures of Aaron Cross and Rachel Weisz. I would prefer that over what we ended up getting, Jason Bourne.
Yeah, it was not good at all.
What a bummer.
It was totally not good.
What a boring bummer of a movie. You can check out my written review at chriscrespo.com. It's spoiler free. That was number one movie?
Mm-hmm, that was the number one movie.
How much did it make again?
$60 million.
That's a good amount of money.
That's
for
That's a nice round number, too.
That is a nice round number, which makes me think of that. The final real number is going to be like in the high 50s.
Also on the tomato meter.
56%. Mm-hmm.
Average rating 5.8.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for.
He delivers fans the franchise more of what they've come to expect, which is the sequel's biggest selling point, as well as its greatest flaw.
The two car chases, the one in the beginning and the one at the end. The one in Greece and the one in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Best parts of the movie.
Yeah.
In 1 year, when that shit's on YouTube...
That's going to be the only parts I've ever
and
watched.
And you can spend 10 minutes just watching the car chases. Watch those car chases. The way the Las Vegas car chase ends...
It's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, the only thing... That car chase bugged me a little bit.
Why? Can you get into it without spoilers?
Yeah, because a SWAT van does not have that kind of takeoff power.
Oh, it's a SWAT van that's... it's rocket fuel. And it can go like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But then when it hits things, it destroys everything
else. And it goes
else.
0 to 60 in like 2 seconds.
Super fast.
Nothing cannot... No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean...
Because it's also a movie where... All right, here's another thing. I wrote this in my review. It's a Jason Bourne movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to move on after this here. Now, 4 movies in. Whenever they send in Bravo Team A or Bravo Team Alpha Team, whenever they send in all these people, no matter what, I am not expecting Jason Bourne to be caught. I'm not expecting him to.
No.
Like, he's always going to get away when he needs to.
Well, he's the best of the best.
He's Jason Bourne. So at one point, it's funny when they're like, they're reporting, like, Alpha Team's down. Like, send a Bravo Team. And then a few minutes later, Bravo Team's down, you know? And it's like, Jason Bourne, right? I get it. But then, like, by the end of the movie, it's like, well, he's always getting away. He's Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
It's the only thing about the Jason Bourne movies that I do got to appreciate is how they are pretty much anti-CIA, anti-government.
Anti-Black Ops.
Yeah, all that stuff. The bad guys are the U.S. government and the secret programs that they do, as opposed to, like, your Jack Ryan, Clear and Present Danger type movies where the CIA are the good guys. And those are the movies. When the CIA is the good guy, Zero Dark Thirty, movies like that, they get... cooperation,
of course,
from the government and from the CIA, 100%. And movies like this, the Bourne movies, they don't get any cooperation because they're painting the CIA in a bad light.
So
I appreciate that, but this movie's still kind of fucking like, god damn it.
Yeah, of all the Bourne movies, it's probably the worst.
Amazing how that happens. Expecting so much. Pretty good trailer.
Yeah,
that we're in. It's a weird world. The trailer's different from the movie.
Yeah, most of the footage from the trailer.
Not most. It's the two things. I rewatched the trailer.
Yeah.
It's the two things that you pointed out. Yeah. New movies on DVD. Do you remember The Bronze? The one about the chick who's like the gymnast. She won a bronze medal, I think.
Oh, the comedy.
Supposedly.
Stupid comedy, yeah.
That's on DVD.
Okay.
Keanu was on DVD, which is a fun movie.
People should watch. If you like Key and Peele, you should watch the movie.
100% if you like Key and Peele, because that's a Key and Peele...
It's a Key and Peele movie.
...skit made into a 90-minute movie, but, like, I think it works. I totally think it's sustainable as a whole, as a feature. It's very enjoyable. Meet the Blacks, which was the black comedy horror remake of... not Paranormal Activity. I'm trying to remember. What was it remake of?
I think it was The Purge, wasn't
it? The Purge, yes. The first Purge. Yeah. 100%. There you go. Thank you, Drew. Mother's Day comes out, which is now Gary Marshall's final movie. Rest in peace. Gary Marshall died a couple weeks ago.
Poor guy.
And, well, I mean, he was in his 80s, so it's not, it's not a tragic loss.
Chris,
it's not a tragic.
We don't get to see any more of these stupid movies named after holidays.
It's been a while since Gary Marshall made a good movie. I would say, like, the 80s. It's been a while since he's been, like, culturally interesting or relevant, yeah. But he cranked them out. And his latest run, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, New Year's Day, right? Maybe the nadir of his. He went out on a low point, but he'll always be remembered as the dude who did a Happy Days and a bunch of other shit. You know, he's a legend. Gary Marshall, rest in peace. We don't normally do rest in peace type shit, but it just so happens that Mother's Day comes on TV. So there you go. Independent films. That we've seen and one that we haven't that I want to see coming out. High Rise.
Yes, it was awesome.
The Ben Wheatley film.
It was awesome.
Remember that trailer for, what's his new one? The Free Fire.
Yes.
That looks wild.
That does look wild.
I only saw that trailer that one time. I hope we get to see the movie without having to see a trailer again.
Definitely.
It looks like it gives away a lot of who's getting shot here and there. The Lobster comes out on DVD. Very interesting movie.
Highly recommend it.
Very interesting. Now, you know what? You may watch it and be like, I don't know if I like it.
That kid from work, Mike, that I recommended it to, he ended up buying it. He liked it so much.
Whoa, Mike. Whoa, dude. That's some Lobster commitment. That's a fucking crazy movie.
It is.
I like the first half more than the second half. Without saying why or what's going on. Uh-huh. But I think you know what I'm talking about. And the movie I want to see that never played in theaters around here. Like, it would be the type of thing that might have played at Winter Park. They never picked it up. Last Days in the Desert. It's the Ewan McGregor film, where I feel a little conflicted about this too, to be perfectly honest. Ewan McGregor plays Jesus.
Okay.
So right there, I'm like, a white Jesus. Yeah. That sucks.
Not just white, like super white.
Scottish Jesus.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck, right? But it's,
sure.
But I like Ewan McGregor, though.
So do I. Ewan McGregor's Jesus.
I like him as an artist.
That's fine. Whatever.
Okay, so give him a little bit of leeway. Last Days in the Desert takes place, if you know anything about the Jesus story, there's one part where he spends 40 days in the desert fasting and praying. The devil tempts him a few times with food and water, and he turns it all down.
He was hallucinating.
He probably eats some mushrooms, so like tripping his mind, peyote style, absolutely 100%. And this movie is that. About that time, Jesus has been wandering in the desert, like he meets people and fucked up shit. Ewan McGregor plays Jesus. He also plays the devil.
Sweet.
I want to see that.
That
sounds cool.
That makes more sense.
Doesn't it? Right. Yes, doesn't it? Conceptually, thematically?
Conceptually, thematically.
It sounds,
realistically, Chris.
It sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
It sounds brilliant. It got really good reviews from festivals and stuff.
Seriously?
I can see why it wouldn't play why it wouldn't get 1,000 screens.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Although, people do love their white Jesus.
They do love their white Jesus. This reinforces why. That's. I feel like, man, I gotta like start drawing a line. There's a Matt Damon movie about the building of the Great Wall of China, and it's like mad races against Asians and shit. It's like, when are we gotta like I love movies and I want to watch movies, but I also gotta like draw a line in the sand about the racism. When am I gonna do it?
In all reality, Chris, if there was a Jesus, right?
Sure.
At that time, whatever.
Yeah.
At that time period, in the place where he was,
yeah.
He had a better chance of being black than white.
100% Palestinian Jewish, 100%. He was a dark-skinned, curly-haired one. Yeah. He's the type of people that Donald Trump wants to keep out of their country.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Totally.
The type of people that the quote-unquote Christian right despises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus was.
And I'm drinking beer. It helps if you keep talking. In the first like 20 minutes, in the opening montage of Ali, Michael Mann's Ali, there's a scene of young Cassius Clay as a kid, Muhammad Ali as a kid, watching his father painting. He did work in a church. He was an artist painting white Jesus, and like him looking at white Jesus and being like, "Why is Jesus so white?" You know, it's a yeah. You're right, Drew. 100%. So there you go, guys. The Bronze stay away from it. Keanu, definitely check it out. Meet the Blacks, I don't know. We don't know anything about it, people. Nope. You got to let us know about that. Mother's Day, rest in peace, Gary Marshall. No, don't check it out, guys. So, High Rise and the Lobster for sure. Last Days in the Desert, I want to see. Drew, what is coming out in theaters?
Oh, that's... stupid Barry Sonnenfeld movie with Kevin Spacey, Nine Lives.
Can't believe, first off, the fall of Barry Sonnenfeld. Although, Men in Black 3 was good. Did you ever see Men in Black 3?
Nope.
I'm going to get that on Netflix, on the DVD, so you can check it out. Because it's actually, like, surprisingly fun.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it works as well as it does.
Men in Black 2 is not that well.
No, Men in Black 2 stunk. I hated it. First one's good, second one stinks. Third one, I was like, this is a... I was like, whoa, this is good. I'll get on DVD though, because I only saw it in the theaters. Mm-hmm. Get your opinion. See, maybe you'll be like, no, fuck you. You're stupid and crazy. What you say all the time in relation to many things. So I would be like, okay, fine. Yeah, dude, this looks like the type of movie that's like Funny or Die. Like it's like a fake movie.
It's not
like an SNL skit.
Yeah.
Then
like Tin Cup.
Like the movie Tin Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You think Tin Cup looks like a fake movie?
It should never happen.
Or you think about, well, there's that one Draft Day where Kevin Costner.
That's when you think.
The football one. Yeah. That totally looks like a fake movie. The trailer. It looks like this movie does not exist.
But it does.
Kevin Costner is playing a joke on everyone.
Nope.
This one looks like Kevin Spacey's. He's in on the joke. It's a big joke.
What do you think Tin Cup is? All it is.
It's a golf. It's
Kevin Costner
rom-com.
Playing golf with Cheech Marin.
That's it. And like probably try and get a Rene Russo's pants between takes. And, you know. Could you,
big movie, Chris.
Could you
big movie?
Could you blame him? 90s Rene Russo. I would not.
No, so. I mean, she was one of the best parts of
Lethal Weapon.
No,
3 and 4.
No, Pierce Brosnan,
the Thomas Crown Affair.
Yes.
Spoiler alert: Rene Russo is one of the best parts in most things she's in. So she's fantastic in Nightcrawler.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she's great. Why don't we get? She's fantastic in Get Shorty.
Also coming out.
Why don't we get more Rene Russo?
Also coming out this weekend. Finally, Suicide Squad.
You know, I agree on the finally. I feel like we've been waiting for this movie for fucking ever. The first footage we saw was at Comic Con last year, and they just did this year's Comic Con. So that's how it's been a 13 month almost campaign. We'll finally get to see this over-the-top Jared Leto Joker.
Yeah.
Hearing a lot about it. Harley Quinn apparently is a showstopper-stealer type of thing where they're talking about making a Harley Quinn movie now over at DC Warner Brothers.
Oh, with Margot Robbie in that outfit?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the outfit thing, that's interesting you bring that up. There's that scene you see in the trailer where she's like trying on the outfit. Everyone stops looking at her, you know, but it's a sexualized shot and... Margot Robbie's already been in under press, like, yeah, we kind of regret like being in that kind of male gaze type of thing, and maybe scaling that back for future movies. So
here's the thing that's kind of the point, you know,
of a character like that.
Harley Quinn uses that against everyone,
right?
In the end,
she is a villain.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with a lot of, but it is also created by men. That's a weird issue where I'm just like, oh, I'm going to sit back and let you guys try to work this one out. I'm just going to watch whatever movies you make. See what direction you go in. It's fine. They're talking about this movie tracking at like $115 to $140 million opening weekend. Like a record-breaking opening weekend for Suicide Squad.
When I saw this trailer, I was like, this is going to be DC's Guardians of the Galaxy.
100%.
People are going to lowball it, and it's going to come in and fucking smack everybody in the face.
The marketing has been good, I think.
It has.
It's been good. It's been fun. It's also been deceptive for people not paying attention because it tries to make it look like, what's her name? Carla DeVigne, the chick with the eyebrows.
Yeah.
It tries to make her characters the Enchantress, right? It tries to make it look like she's part of the Suicide Squad, and she's not. She's obviously the bad guy or whatever that they're trying to stop.
Or something.
She is part of the whatever the the bad guys that the bad guys are trying to stop. Like, the Ultimate Menace, yeah. She's part of it. She's not part of the squad. And the Joker is obviously not part of the squad.
No.
So, but doesn't seem to be tied directly into Enchantress.
Well, and that is Batman, Chris.
And Batman does talk about, I think Batman is, that might be like flashback stuff.
Well, and here's the thing, and from what I've been reading, in this, you're going to see Batman in a light you haven't seen before. Because the movie's coming from the villain's perspective.
Right.
So, Batman is technically the bad guy.
He is their monster.
Yeah.
He comes out of the shadows and hunts them.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. So that's the, yeah. I read an interview where apparently some people, this was some thought line for some people that DC and Warner Brothers, they told David Ayer, writer of Training Day, writer and director of End of Watch, Fury, Sabotage, which is a fucked up crazy movie, but not very good. Other like really hard, crazy movies, R-rated movies like that. He's the one who behind this movie. There are rumors that Warner Brothers like, you have to have Batman in this movie so that we can sell the movie as having Batman and to guarantee more people will check it out, etc., etc. Someone asked him that in an interview, and David Ayer was like, that is fucking insane. I asked for Batman. I wanted him. You don't make a DC movie and get access to these toys and then not ask to use them. He's like, the reason I made this movie is for the chance of being able to like make a movie with Batman in it. So it was totally his idea. He brought it to the story. There's the whole thing with Jared Leto where he was like in character the whole time.
Yeah.
So everyone on set, like the makeup girls and shit, they all had to call him Mr. J. They could call him the Joker, or they could call him Mr. J, which is a nice compromise.
That's what Harley calls him.
And his name is Jared, so you could call him Mr. J without feeling like a total asshole, you know. But he would like try to be like all crazy and meta on set and shit like that. And hopefully it comes through in the
movie.
Having
fun with it.
Will Smith is a goddamn movie star, and he's like part of this ensemble.
Yeah,
as Deadshot. That's gonna be a lot of fun. What's his name? Jai Courtney is playing the role that should have gone, that was Tom Hardy's. And Tom Hardy had to drop out because The Revenant went over schedule.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch it, like, oh, he's doing a bit of a Tom Hardy. That's what he's doing. And David Ayer, in that same interview I read, he said one of his favorite characters from making movie is the Captain Boomerang Jai Courtney character.
No.
He said it's one of the most fun ones. So we'll see. And then they're working on the a Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn spinoff, which means then more Joker.
Well, yeah, exactly. So is Jared Leto coming back for Joker?
Definitely. For this iteration, for this run of DC movies for the next few years, Jared Leto is our Joker. So he's committed to it.
Yeah. So does that mean are we going to get Jared Leto the Ben Affleck?
Yes. Yeah. More so in the Batman solo movie that's coming out in a few years that Ben Affleck's going to co-write and direct, which is rumored now that that's going to be an Arkham Asylum movie.
Okay.
So, because they're talking about how that's going to involve a lot of villains.
Well, yeah, I mean, Joker will be there.
And Batman, talking about comic books, Batman does have, like, the best rogues gallery. He's got the best villains.
For the most part.
Yeah, I mean, you got Joker.
All
the Suicide Squad Joker,
well,
Killer
here we
Croc,
go.
And
I think the reason why is because all of Batman's villains are very human.
A lot of them are, yes.
They don't have the whole "I'm going to take over the world" mentality. it's all about Gotham and Batman specifically.
It is about, yeah, it is. They very personal vendettas against Batman and their Penguin, and they're just a mob boss that wants to run Gotham.
And still, it is very Gotham-centric. None of these villains are like, I'm taking over the world.
As opposed to like Avengers movie villains.
Exactly. Or X-Men villains, villains like fucking Thanos who are, able to destroy worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that for the long, years long build up now to Thanos, man. They're taking so long with that
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. So, and I think that's why people gravitate towards them, because they're more personal and more human.
Makes sense. And Joker is so
fucking psycho.
Like, opposite side of the coin of Batman. Like, the same but different and psycho in so many ways.
Well, yes, 100%. Exactly. He is the perfect counterpart.
I definitely want to do, when I'm done reading all your all the graphic novels that you're feeding me now these last few weeks, I'm going to finish in the next few weeks, definitely going to do an episode. I know we did one episode, a bonus episode, where you were talking about a lot of your favorite comic books. I would recommend people going back and checking that out, looking for, if you just go to Google Cinema Crespity, so comic books, it'll pop up.
Are we talking about all the new ones?
Or just scan back through the feed and you'll find it. Drew talking about his favorite books at that time. I want to do one where I want to talk about everything. And that's going to include a bunch of Batman talk, the Scott Snyder Batman.
Yeah, the Scott Snyder Batman's good.
And then the other Batman that we got going on in there, and also
the Neil Gaiman Batman?
The Neil Gaiman Batman, which, yeah.
The Brian K. Vaughan Batman?
That's coming soon, right? Oh, the BKV. So we'll be talking about all that stuff, and for sure in a bonus episode. And I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad very much.
It's going
to
be fun.
Very, very much. I'm really, really want to see it. I really want it to be good. And like you said, finally, it's fucking here. It feels like forever.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for it. Mm-hmm. Fucking for goddamn ever. So here we go. Is anything else coming up?
Nope. Nothing more special.
All right. So here we go, guys. Go see Nine Lives. Let us know how it is, because we're going to see Suicide Squad. That means it's time for my favorite segment of the week. Drew.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Drew's the guy we're in. Take it away, the doctors and...
Chris, it's finally here, Suicide Squad. Go see it. Go see a movie about villains. It's the protagonists are the bad guys. And the antagonists are the good guys. You don't see many movies like this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Fucking go see this goddamn movie. Cogburn out.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Dr. Drew. We appreciate it. It is time to take a break, guys. I finish this yingling here. Drew's lemon heads are over. They're empty. We need more lemon heads.
It's gone.
We need to refill Drew Cogburn's drink as well as mine. So we're going to take a break. The best part of the Jason Bourne movie is probably the soundtrack, where it's all, you know, that whole thing. So here we go, guys. Here's a couple of songs from the soundtrack by, what are these guys' names? John Powell and David Buckley from the Jason Bourne original soundtrack. Here are a couple songs from that. We're going to be back with the second half of the show. You ready, Drew Cogburn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So 90s hack. Let's... Beard on the Stash. It's coming, guys. You ready for Beard on the Stash? Beardo.
And the Stash.
We both went for the Beardo. We both went for the Beardo. All right, take a break. We'll be right back. Here we go. Thank you.
something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
What's up? It's your boy, Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
That's right, guys. We are back. It is episode 186 of Cinema Crespity. So I am your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drewster Cogburn.
Ah, yes, my Nazi supporters. I don't know why it's always the Nazis with you, Chris.
They're just soccer. They're your soccer hooligans. They love you with the fervor that the soccer hooligans who love.
With the fervor of the Fuhrer.
Email us at cinemacrespedy@gmail.com. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
People, send Drew on Twitter, antihero419, your favorite gifs from the movie Watchmen. Send them your favorite Watchmen gifs, and we'll retweet them, favorite them, retweet them. How are your lemonheads there?
It's good.
Juicer Cogburn and the lemonheads.
Mm-hmm, it's delicious.
Tardy.
Well, not really hearty.
Tardy, but not really hearty.
It's not hearty at all.
Sweet.
It is very sweet.
Good enough for a tweet. Tardy, but not really hearty. Drewster and the Lemonheads. Live. At the social. No? At the Sapphire Supper Club.
Back in the day.
Remember when the social was the Sapphire Supper Club? Local references. Guys, email the show, cinemacrespedy@gmail.com for free stickers.
Please.
And I think we're gonna go ahead and order those new ones, Drew. We're gonna order the AC/DC knockoff logo.
Are we?
For sure.
We're gonna do it. Should we do it now?
Yeah, might as well. Okay. Just might as well get it done because I'm ready for new stuff.
Okay, I'll get on it.
So I want those stickers. We're gonna do the AC/DC knockoff ones, which we had the limited run of those shirts. We sell those two medium shirts if the people want them.
You know what I was thinking, Chris?
What were you thinking, Drew?
The AC/DC ripoff logo.
Yeah.
Right.
We're just a legal ripoff, we found out.
Yeah.
We use the right lightning bolt that it's not a...
Well, no, exactly. And I think I might change that lightning bolt that's on a shirt. I think I might change that to the sticker.
Okay. As long as we have the right
sticker. You know, exactly. I don't want to fuck with but anyway, that's perfect size for, like, business card. And they have they have business card stickers, so we can have information on the back. And
okay,
we
can rip it off. Just as actual business cards?
Well,
or stickers that are business card shaped?
Well, exactly. It's both.
Oh, okay. Well, I want that one.
Yes.
I want the CC, the Coco Chanel ripoff logo, but with the 80s grid Miami skyline type of deal.
We're going to have to find somebody.
You can do those ourselves at like a Kinko's FedEx, right?
Well, yeah, but they're not going to be the quality that we want.
Well, they're going to be the bootleg stickers.
We don't have a choice.
That's fine.
Because no reputable company will print those for us.
Totally fine. They're the bootleg guerrilla marketing stickers. Part of these are for like people to have on their cars permanently. Some of these are going to be guerrilla marketing type shit. Those are great at marketing. We got to do the stencils where we can spray paint sidewalks and shit. Mm-hmm. I might bleep that part out. And then also, I want the new two-headed one.
Okay. We can do that too.
Then we got that's the... also the cyan
and magenta.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good color palette.
So I want those three.
We'll work on it. We'll see what we can do.
And then we'll send all those to all our listeners, all our loyal listeners, plus all our new listeners, because fuck loyalty. We just want more people to listen to the show and enjoy it and reap what we sow, which is free stuff for you and things and whatnot. # so on and so forth. You know what's going on. You guys know. ChrisCrespo.com. Check out that too. What do you want to start with, Drew? Do you want to start with the segment of the people, or should we start with the segment of the Billy D? Or do you want to start with the movie news? Or you want to switch it up? What are you feeling? Where do you want to go with this?
Let's just do Billy D.
Oh, you want to get into Billy D's death of the movies? Our New York City senior Crespo and horror film aficionado?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that means I got to do this. Drew Chicago and the Lemonheads. Come into a town near you.
Sunday, be there. Juice of Calgary, it's time for Billy B. Take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I've been on a bit of a throwback kick lately. After watching Stranger Things, I'm opening my mind to more homage-y type films,
experimenting with unlicensed remakes, you know, obvious ripoffs.
Sure.
I'm approaching this like food. I like pizza, but I don't only like a certain pizza served during a certain year from a certain place. It's how the flavors are combined and cooked.
Wait, what? Wait.
I've dismissed
plenty of... Wait, what?
I'm approaching this film like food.
Yeah.
I like pizza.
Yeah.
But I don't only like a certain pizza served during a certain year from a certain place. It's how the flavors are combined and cooked. He likes all the pizza all the time.
Okay.
I've dismissed plenty of films before, seeing them as blank with blank, and not even watched.
Yes.
This week's film would have been dismissed as The Thing with Shaky Cam, and I would have passed. But I said, that looks fun, and we watched Black Mountainside on Amazon this week.
Black Mountainside.
I'm
writing this down. Black Mountainside, and it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Which means we can check it out if Billy recommends it. Here we go.
Black Mountainside doesn't have any stars or a notable director attached. It's really low budget, but it's really well done. An Arctic dig team researching pre-industrialized tribes in the Arctic Circle has found something under the ice. It could be the most important thing in human history, or it could be the most dangerous thing in human history. They start turning on each other one by one after months of isolation. It's not bad for a thing clone. It doesn't even try for too many special effects, but the ones it goes for are practical and they are great. If you're in the mood for a top paranoid thriller set in a remote location, check out The Thing. If you have, try out Black Mountainside. It's taken years for a thing clone to get this close to copying the real thing. Stay cool, Billy D.
Thank you, Billy D.
What? And I almost forgot.
What?
Doc, I already got the right flick for you to watch when you're up here to hit our quota of something super fucked up.
Oh yeah, you guys always watch something fucked up.
Yeah, I always watch something weird.
Billy's always like, I'm gonna ruin your vacation.
Uh-huh, and I'm always like, okay, let's do it.
Hey.
It's fun.
I guess that's coming up in a few weeks here.
It's like 3.5-4 weeks away.
Interesting. There's a on the corner of Canal and Broadway. Okay. There's a dude that sells like an Indian guy. He sells a bunch of colognes and stuff. He's probably still there. He's been there forever. He's got like one of these storefronts where it's just like it's just a few
stuff.
Feet in.
Yeah.
But it's all cologne.
Okay.
All cologne all perfumes. Clothes. And if you're like really good at haggling, you can get $5-10 off for sure. See if they have Jack cologne.
Okay.
Jack, very specific. Jack cologne. It's English. It's so English. It is, what's this guy's name? Richard E. Grant. If you Google him, Richard E. Grant, Google him real quick, Drew. You'll see his face. This guy was in like Hudson Hawk. And a bunch of other crazy movies. He was in the Spice World movie.
Okay.
He was just in the latest Game of Thrones season. Yeah. He was the stage troop. He played Ned Stark, I think. The stage version of Ned Stark. Richard E. Grant. He's a scent aficionado. And he came up with a cologne. And it's called Jack. And I want it.
You want it.
And I want it. And this guy, if he has it, you can haggle.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
All right, you and Billy. What you guys? That's on you guys.
See what we can do.
Okay, sweet. Because I haven't had a good cologne in a while. I've been rolling Eau de Crespo for a bit.
Eau de Crespo, that's not a good scent.
No, it's a good scent. It's fine. No, Drew, don't get me wrong. It's a good scent. But I do like to spruce it up a bit every now and then. I mean, my New York Hispanic heritage, just upbringing, just comes out sometimes then. It doesn't call for a white boy juicer style spray must a cloud of X and then walk through it. You haven't done that for a while, but...
No, I used to do under the arm.
Sure, you did. Yeah, sure. No, now.
No.
Yeah, now. That's why, yeah, the whole... Yeah. But I'm talking like 2009, Drew.
Dude, I'm white.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I do a different thing, which is probably equally awful for anyone. Sure. I don't know what we're talking about. This is not nothing to do with movies.
Fox Populi.
Or no, Billy D, Death in the Movies.
But it's over, we just did it.
Oh, that's right, we did.
Vox Populi?
The Black Mountainside. Was it called Black Mountainside?
Yes.
I do want to see that.
Okay, it's a thing clone, apparently.
And a thing clone, which I'm fine with. I hate Shaky Cam.
Yeah.
But Billy D made a song, it's pretty good.
Huh?
And it's on Amazon.
We'll see.
We got access to that.
We do.
and Vox Populi?
Vox Populi.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Well, you know what that means. That means it's time for me to drink some beer.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com or Facebook.com/CinemaCrespediso or Twitter.com/CrespoDiso. What do you know? How's it going, guys? Oh, wait a second. Drusa Cogburn. Drusa Cogburn. People can hit us up, and when they do, you read it.
I do.
And this is how it goes down. Take it away.
We got an email from Scott.
Scott.
He had a VOD week. He watched Hardcore Henry and Green Room.
Oh. Drew Sagagwin versus the world. Drew Sagagwin versus the world. You know what? You're just starting it, so we'll put it on hold for a second. Let's give Scott our full attention when we can.
All right, he's got some haikus and some reviews for us.
All right, we'll hear that in just a second. First, let's do our round of Drusa Cogburn versus the World sparring round. Drew, you, spoiler alert, lost last week.
Oh,
to Amy Drew. That was tough. You were 0-2 against her.
Yeah, she's got my number.
Who does she? So you're 11-7 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You were 13-7 in 2014.
Mm-hmm. 19-7. As long, who knows, Chris? I might not lose for the rest of the year.
You might. We're gonna get more than 8 guests in here before now and the end of the year. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of sick run you go on. This could show how good you are. You ready to flex?
Sure.
You ready to like Venice Beach style rip off your shirt? Movie trivia muscle bound. Because you've been doing this for years now, man.
I've got something, but you know, seriously, it doesn't register all the time, you know?
It doesn't always set in that you have years of movie trivia experience.
Well, no, it's just the brain is not as quick as it used to be, Chris. I've done many awful things to it over the years.
Maybe you should do more dabs during your break.
I mean, you're talking
more dabs or less dabs?
More.
Well, then let's say
Suns out, guns out, Chris.
Suns out, guns out. Mike Tyson
suns
is all...
Suns out, guns out.
Sunning and gunning all day, every day. Get the third here, represent.com/Tyson. Buy-in. Yeah, Tyson's pretty awesome. Is that what you do in your show? You just look at Mike Tyson's Instagram?
Say what?
Here we go, Drew. It is time for this week's sparring round. It is called Auteur Theory. Name the director. I'm going to give you 3 movies. You tell me who directed the movie.
Okay.
All right, here we go. And of course, I tried to make it go from easy to hard.
Okay.
See how successful that is. Number 1, Alien, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise.
Ridley Scott.
That's correct. Number 2, Beetlejuice, Batman, Big Fish.
Know his name.
You do know his name, but it's not Jason Bourne.
I know his name, and I can't think of it. For some reason, it is escaping me.
It is escaping it's... Drew, the director of Beetlejuice, Batman, and Big Fish. He also directed Alice in Wonderland. Oh, should I give you another one?
I know. He also directed
Edward Scissorhands.
Yep, Edward Scissorhands. And a whole bunch of other really crazy movies.
Yeah.
And I like them all.
Yeah.
And his name is...
It's like the big eyes. A lot of movies with B that start with B.
His name is...
Batman Returns.
I can't think of his name.
Tim Burton.
Thank you.
God, Drew.
Thank
God
you.
Damn it.
Thank you.
And you knew it, but I'm still going to give you an X.
I can't... Some,
it, you got to have an answer. I mean, it's crazy, bro. More dabs. Number 3. Who directed Rushmore, Bottle Rocket, The Royal Tenenbaums?
Oh, God.
Thinking. 1,000 yards there.
Once again, I know his name, and I can't. Freaking think of it. I mean, it's right there, and I can't read it. I can't read what his name is.
Oh, it is on the wall over there. Yeah.
I can't read it.
That is more than 20/20 vision, though.
Yeah, it's pretty small. Uh huh. It's
He's got his own style. He does all the movies.
Right. He's a big fan of Jacques Tati. Yes.
Uh-huh,
yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And once again, I'm having a lot of trouble.
You can do it, though. His name is...
I can't.
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, yeah, Wes Anderson. That would be it. That would be correct, sir. Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson. Mm-hmm. Number four, who directed Casino, Goodfellas, The Aviator?
Scorsese.
That's correct. Number five, who directed The Evil Dead, Darkman, Drag Me to Hell?
Say those three again.
The Evil Dead, Darkman, Drag Me to Hell.
It's right there and I can't read it. He also directed Army of Darkness, Chris.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yep. He did.
All those movies.
From the director of Darkman. It says right there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Super issues today, Chris. I'm sorry.
Sam Raimi. Yes, number six. Who directed Jungle Fever, Clockers, School Days? Told you it's supposed to get harder.
He's English, I'll tell you that much. You think, I don't know who it is.
Jungle Fever, Clockers, School Days. You think he's English?
No.
It's Spike Lee. No, I didn't even wait for you to give me a name. You were so wrong. Number seven. Wrong. Oh boy, this might get ugly. Number seven.
Oh, Chris, get ugly. It's already been very ugly. I couldn't even remember Wes Anderson's name, for Christ's sake.
Wes Anderson. Number seven. Heartbreak Ridge. Invictus. Jersey Boys.
No clue.
How about if I add Gran Torino?
Really? Clint Eastwood?
Clint Eastwood.
Really?
Yes. Number eight, Point Break. The Hurt Locker.
Oh, what's her name?
Zero
Dark. Dark 30. Was married to James Cameron.
Also did K-19 Widowmaker.
Uh-huh.
Put her in director jail for a while because women don't get the same leeway as men. Hashtag, I already gave away too much. Hashtag, you forgot we're bringing home. You already said
I can't.
Married to James Cameron anyway. You knew what was going
on. Yeah, I know who it is. I know exactly who it is. I can even see her face. I don't remember her name.
She also did the movie.
Just put an X on it and tell me the answer, please.
Near Dark. She did Near Dark. No.
Catherine Bigelow. Pow!
Drew.
Man, it came to me at the end.
Drew! Oh, shit.
It came to me at the end.
X, I was about to say her name.
Yeah.
Strange Days.
It came to me at the end, dude.
That's awesome.
I told you. I fucking knew who it was.
I believe in you, Drew. When I make these games, I believe in you.
I know who these people are.
I know this guy can do it.
Think of it sometimes.
Oh, man. Number nine.
Maybe less dabs.
All right, well, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. Number nine, who directed Mimic, Blade 2, The Devil's Backbone?
Oh, I can't remember.
This piece of paper is so cold against my face.
I know it is.
The Devil's Backbone.
I know, I saw it.
Pacific Rim.
I know. Guillermo del Toro.
Number 10. God,
why does it take me so long to do this?
Maybe I just need the fourth movie. Number 10. Who directed Hook? Always. That's starring Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, yeah.
And Empire of the Sun.
That was Bruce Willis.
No. You're thinking of Tears of the Sun.
Ah, yes.
Empire of the Sun is starring 13-year-old Christian Bale. Who directed Hook? Always. Empire of the Sun. Also directed 1941.
I got no idea.
Also directed The Color Purple. Also directed Amistad. Also directed the TV movie Duel.
No.
Also directed.
This one's not going to come to me, Chris.
No. Also directed. I'm trying to think of ones that. See, now we're getting some ones where also directed. Oh, fuck it. Jaws.
Say what?
Also directed Jaws. Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List.
Spielberg?
Steven Spielberg!
Really?
Oh, it took you 12.
Really?
Indiana Jones? Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did Hook. He did Hook with Robin Williams. He did Always with Richard Dreyfuss in the late 80s. Did Empire of the Sun in the early 90s. Ladies or 90s with Christian Bale.
Hmm.
1941 is a bad comedy he did with John Belushi in the late early 80s. Immediately after the Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Color Purple. Movie with Oprah. Danny Glover.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew all the movies you were talking about. I just... Those are... I'd never...
I figured all the ones
Steven
after
Spielberg
that.
With them.
Munich. Would Munich have given it away? Usually. Munich.
No.
That's a hard movie, man.
Yeah.
Munich is like a fucking hard... Like, people are like, Spielberg made this? I was like, Jurassic World? No, Jurassic Park. Drew,
that was awful.
You gotta... That was not good, so...
That was awful.
Oh, boy.
My brain's fried.
Drew's brain is fried.
I don't think the alcohol is helping this time.
Drusa Cogburn and the Lemonheads. Yeah, this is this particular episode is what could be considered a shit show, but it's cool because we're having a good time. You guys are probably having a good time. If you're not, that means you shut it off by now, which is fine. All the people that shut the show off, you can go fuck yourself. Everyone that's still listening, you're cool. That's the thing. People who shut it off, they don't know that I told them to go fuck themselves.
Right, because they shut it off.
But if they like pick it up and they keep listening. It doesn't count. Like,
no, because they didn't shut it off.
Yeah, they're back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to shut off for a particular reason, but they're back. So they're cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I get back to this email?
Is that what we're doing?
From Scott.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a show, aren't we?
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's Vox Populi.
No, you already...
Wait, what?
You already played the intro, Chris.
Okay. There we go. Email time.
All right. He's got haikus and reviews.
Nice.
For Hardcore Henry and Green Room.
Let's do it.
Start with Hardcore Henry. POV porn sucks. POV action porn sucks. Hardcore Henry sucks.
Ooh, not liking it. You know what? I don't think he liked it.
Me neither.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, so Tim Roth was Henry's father in all this? Okay. Yeah. Thanks for explaining that end credits. Because the plot sure as fuck didn't.
Yeah, seriously. That was so post, like, it didn't matter.
And the plot also never bothered to explain how the big badass boss somehow had telekinetic powers. Technobabble super soldiers I can sort of buy on face value. But telekinesis for this one fucking guy? Come on, you gotta throw me a bone.
You know, apparently, not to interrupt, of course, to interrupt, that's what I do. I'm Chris Crespo, this is my show, I talk when I want to. There's a comic book prequel.
Okay, that explains everything.
This guy's this one guy's telekinesis thing.
Interesting.
How that one character, yeah. They had a prequel comic for Inception, too, so it's not like, you know, it's not unheard of. But, yeah, not at all explained in the movie. Dude just has telekinesis. All
right.
But, you know, when I saw it, I was like, whatever.
Yeah, no, at that point in time, I had already bought into this whole silly world where he's
he's a robot
cyborg.
Man.
Yeah. And I'm seeing through his eyes, so whatever, telekinesis, unexplained, I don't care.
And he loves fake Jennifer Lawrence, mm-hmm. Understandable.
Yeah. All right. And in addition to the Tim Roth revelation, the end credits were also helpful in letting me know that 29 different women were created as girls in brothel, because that scene was just so important and required so many different pairs of breasts. I think that, more than anything, shows you what kind of movie this really was trying to be.
As a man, I love breasts, and it was fun to see so many titties in the movie.
And Charlton Copley was having a lot of fun.
As a feminist, it's like, the ladies were getting paid. They knew what they were doing, but it's so demeaning. But the movie is garbage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The movie is exploitation trash garbage anyway.
Yes.
So the fact that it gets so sexist, I don't think it matters. Plus,
exactly.
It's from Russia.
Yeah.
That's like not even...
They don't even think about that over there.
They gave all the girls like individual numbers.
Yeah.
They bothered to number them.
Good for them.
That's the Russian life. That's the Russian mentality.
They got numbers.
We bothered the 1 and 2 and 3. They have different numbers. They are the
actual... they had money.
They have backstories. This one is like, I'm girl number 2. Backstory for character.
Jesus effing Christ. What a ridiculous goddamn flick. I get that they were going for a video game experience, but damn, most video games I've known at least try to have better stories than this.
And
the stupid movies that attempt to bring those video games to the big screen usually try even a bit harder to make the paper-thin plots amount to something.
Henry makes me long for the cinematic majesty of Mortal Kombat or Double Dragon or even Super Mario Brothers. The only redeeming quality was Sharlto Copley. That guy is an absolute monster on screen. I'd watch him do slash say slash perform anything. But how about that gimmick, huh? It is pretty cool. It's just wasted on low-bar dreck like Hardcore Henry. What could a first-person POV film be like if done by a proper director with a proper story? Cameron, Scorsese, Lord Miller, come on!
Lord Miller! Your next fool, Penatella.
Lord Miller.
All great points. I agree with everything.
Exactly. So do I.
I agree with all that. It's lazy. Video game movies are better than this fake video game movie. Video game movies are terrible. So what does that tell you?
But Sharlto Copley was awesome.
Sharlto Copley is great, and he needs a better agent.
Yes.
Whenever Matthew McConaughey got a better agent, had his McConaissance, or when The Rock got a better agent, started being in bigger, better movies.
That's what Copley needs.
Copley needs to do that, bro.
Yeah.
He also needs to be in that Alien movie that Neil Blomkamp is going to do with Sigourney Weaver.
Well, you know he will be.
I hope so.
Come on, dude. It's these guys. They're like,
they're tight together. Yeah.
All right.
So he did not like that movie.
No.
Fatality.
Now on the green room. Nazi punks, fuck off.
Yes, Nazi punks, fuck off.
Fascists ruin everything. That box cutter, though.
When that close-up of her just, like, opening the box cutter.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what happens next, because you already see what happened before it, and you're just like, oh, my God. And then it doesn't even end up being that brutal.
No.
But the anticipation.
The tension.
Yes, the tension. It's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to get bad. And as a matter of fact, the violence that happens in Green Room early on, I know I'm hijacking this, but that's why I do. This is my show. The violence that happens early on in Green Room is so intense that for the rest of the movie,
you're looking for it to happen again.
Anytime
you see a weapon or movement or anything in your head, you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh my God, oh my God.
Like, am I about to see something horrible again?
Yes, and you might.
That's part of the fun of watching a movie where it's like, to the point where, and then there are scenes where horrible things do happen. You're just like, oh, I'm not going to get that out of my mind anytime soon. But then it's also shit that happens like off screen, and like it's kind of miraculous. It's kind of forgiving where they give you some stuff that's like in the shadows. So every now and then they'll let you off the hook. So the movie's not relentless, which makes it easier to recommend. As opposed to like that Evil Dead remake.
Yeah.
That's just
really just brutal.
From front, as soon as the shit hits the fan, it's like, whoa. You know how Cabin in the Woods, they use the comedy to temper everything?
Uh-huh.
And ends up being a fun movie. And there's still some horrible shit.
For all the horrible shit that goes on in that movie's a fucking comedy.
Yeah, there's like two elements of comedy for every one piece of horror, right? Yeah, exactly. And Evil Dead is like, fuck all that comedy. Like, this is just going to be brutality over and over and over. That's what I'm really gonna say. What were we talking about? Green Room. Green Room was much better than Evil Dead, I gotta say. So much better.
Fuck, man. That was just brutal.
Rest in peace, Anton Yelchin.
I'm almost too spent to type.
Right? Yeah, you should. You gotta sleep. You gotta relax. Ask Curtis Earth took his, like, 20-year-old daughter to go see it without telling her what it was. He was like, it's a movie about a band.
Wow. The best thing about Green Room is it's exactly what you think it is. If you just watched the trailer or read a brief summary of the plot or heard some buzz about it and thought, that's for me, that's what you get. It doesn't over-deliver or under-deliver, it just delivers. Everything you feared, hoped, expected, it's all there. Dark, visceral, gruesome, and utterly terrifying. Mm. I can't recall being so merely satisfied by a film while still being so rave about it. It's an odd feeling. I still can't believe Yelkin got did in by his own goddamn car. R.I.P. Chekhov. Still haven't seen ST Beyond yet.
Fuck you.
And it's really pissing me off.
Like, fuck you, Jeep.
Maybe next week.
Like, what the fuck, man?
Oh, and at L. Ross, Picard hasn't had this much blood on his hands since Wolf359. Am I right? Hashtag nerds. Hashtag TNG. Hashtag via email. Take care, guys. Spot.
Thank you, Scott, so much. Rest assured, Ross does not listen to you. He's not listening to the show. So if you wanted to know what you said, you're going to have to tweet him. Tweet him directly. But, you know, shout out to Ross for coming on the show. Episode 184 a couple weeks ago. A lot of fun having him on. We'll have him back soon for sure. And also, check out the latest episode of A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. I think it was, off the top of my head, I think I'm going to say it's like 377.
Okay.
Is what they're up to on weekly shows. And I got to do, they invited me on, I got to do the news segment in the third half, Drew. Not the second half, not the first half, but the third half. I got to do the news in the third half of the show. Brought some new movie news stories, some entertainment news stories, and we had a good time. Ross was there too anyway, and by the time I got to get on the microphone, I was like 3 OBPs deep. And
don't twist it.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Good time for sure. And so check that out, and check out Ross at 184. Check out Amy Drew Thompson 185. You can check out Jen Vargas on 183. You can check out episode 182 because mathematically, chronologically, that just happens. You know, you start running out of numbers, you can start going backwards. Go all the way back to episode 1 if you want. I wouldn't recommend you go in episode 1. Maybe if you're running out. The de-evolution of the show. If you listen to the show now, I know it sounds like a shit show now, but if you go backwards all the way back to episode 1, oh my god. Oh,
wow, probably even worse.
Watch it get like worse and worse and worse.
I'm sure.
We got like things like
Carpet Day!
I don't know what that. Oh, Drew, why did you?
That was loud.
I know. Why did you make that so loud for? I blame you for that.
All right, Chris, on Facebook, Ricardo Perez got at us.
Shout out to Ricardo. Isn't that an exciting sound?
He says, Star Trek, is it beyond belief?
Hey, Apple. Hey.
I don't know. I just hit a random button. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. I'll stop doing that. Is Star Trek beyond belief?
That's what it says. Is it beyond belief?
What does Star Trek Beyond mean?
Is it beyond belief?
Drew, we've seen the movie. What does Star Trek Beyond the title mean?
They did go, like, beyond the safe zone. They went into some stupid nebula.
Beyond the safe zone.
Right? I mean, it's not really beyond anything. It was maybe supposed to be beyond awesome. Beyond something.
It was supposed to be beyond awesome.
It feels like there should be a bed and a bath in front of it.
So is it beyond? Is the movie beyond belief?
No.
No. What did it feel like? I had a bed and bath before it?
Probably.
I don't know about that. That's it. Star Trek Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yes.
Bed Bath and Star Trek Beyond.
Sounds better. Sounds better.
Take it away.
Paul Hine got at us.
What's up?
He's got a review for Midnight Special. General Zod.
That was the achievement song.
Kylo Ren.
You got an achievement.
And the weirdo from The Gift put aside their evil ways to help a young boy find his way home. The government is afraid he is some kind of weapon. A religious group calls him their savior, but in the end, he's just a boy from another world. This movie was really good. Watch, and I'd recommend everyone check it out.
He said the weirdo from The Gift. Initially, I was like, Giovanni Ribisi? That's a Sam Raimi, The Gift, with Cate Blanchett and Keanu Reeves.
Different
Gift. He's talking about the Joel Edgerton in The Gift from the Gordo the Weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Midnight Special, which is pretty... he's pretty good in it. And Midnight Special is a pretty great movie. And it's out there now for people to check out.
All right. Ron out in L.A. got at us.
Thanks a lot, Paul. We appreciate it. What's up? What's up? Our homie Ron in L.A., he's our boy.
He asks us to discuss this stupid shit, please. We've got some information here, Chris. And we're going to discuss it. Stop.
Have time. I didn't hear it the first time, so I'm going to hear it.
And now for today's lesson in institutionalized misogyny.
You know what? I'm going to close this app. And then here we go. Go for it.
Today's news... Ghostbusters tanks, stumbles with 53% drop in its second week. Presumably, that's a bad performance compared to other action movies in their second week then. Let's check. Captain America Civil War went down almost 60%, Dark Knight 52%, Amazing Spider-Man 61%. Oh, and for an example of an actual tanking, Batman v Superman dropped 70%. Now let's examine all the reporting last week that Ghostbusters was going to struggle because of its first week multiplier against its budget. Ghostbusters' first weekend US figures, $46 million. It had a $144 million budget, so in its first week it made 32% of that. The descriptions were lackluster, problematic, and will haunt Sony.
Star Trek Beyond first week U.S. figures, $59.6 million. It had a $189 million budget. So in its first week, it made 30% of its budget, which is 2% less. Hmm. The reporting was dominates and wins big. We have some replies to that on Facebook.
Okay, let's hear the replies. People talking about it on Facebook already.
Our homeboy Billy D.
What's up, Billy?
Says, you also have to count for the fact that Sony Entertainment is so fucked in general. They have so few hits over the last few years, they had to lease Spider-Man to someone who knows what they are doing.
True.
Ron responds, maybe Sausage Party can save the studio. Billy, a 50% drop-off in second week is not a great sign in general, but it happens a lot. Maybe chalk it up to the Ghostbusters movie being better than expected, but not as good as it should have been. I'm also saying that no man could have saved that film. Original cast, new cast, it was just not great. Merely passable as a sci-fi actioner for the summer. And Ron responds with an article about Sony's PlayStation division accounted for 78% of its quarter one 2016 profits.
Jesus, you guys are getting deep with like Forbes and articles and shit, man. What the fuck, guys? This is the kind of fun you can find at Cinema Crespedes on Facebook. And these kind of wonderful debates about
we're intelligent debaters.
Yeah, this is actually these are very good points.
Well, and exactly like you said, and like Ron said, and like the article said, and like Billy said, a 50% drop off is almost normal.
That's fine.
After
that's
the good. Second week.
I think that's good. For a summer blockbuster, 50% is a good number.
And the fact that, you know, Ghostbusters was reported as being a flop, this, that, the other, while all these other movies are success.
Right.
This
goes back to what I was saying earlier.
Well, you've been saying this the entire time. Mm. I mean, for the last 3 years, you've been saying this stuff.
That, box office reporting is garbage out there, man. People don't know what they're talking about.
Correct.
And yes, absolutely. You can definitely see a bias there. It's weird. It's weird, right?
I mean, yeah. And all that means is that the media is an unreliable source for information.
100% mainstream media is a reliable source. We are part of the media, but we are fringe media. We are beholden to no one. We are sinking money into this. Money is being lost, being made to give you disinformation. That's why you come here for the truth. That's why we have things like the Vox Populi. We talk about the bullshit that is happening out there. Hashtag fight the power. Hashtag profit to rage. Hashtag make America burn again. Hashtag make America hate again. Hashtag make America great again. Hashtag make America's Got Talent great again. Hashtag make Drew Sakagwin great again. Hashtag make Red Hot Chili Peppers great again. Hashtag.
All right. Ron got at us again.
What's up, Ron?
Okay, guys. I just want to say that living away from Drew's smoking aura still saddens me. Although I get that LA smog time to keep him close in my heart.
Hey, Drew's quitting.
I am trying to quit.
Everyone tweet Drew at Antihero 419, your favorite truth campaign commercial.
But it also affords me the chance to see,
I like the one with the cats,
to see movies as a screener. The first time I did so was for Bad Moms. I saw this movie like 5 months ago. I thought it was funny and cute. It had some pacing issues and drop plot holes, but being part of that focus group, I gave them my 2 cents, much like the show on well-respected Dr. Drewster. I can't wait to Redbox to see if there are any changes. Hopefully they keep the hilarious supermarket scene and the physical comedic moments. If you go out to see it in theaters, it's totally worth going to a matinee, medicinally enhanced.
Whoa!
I don't smoke, but I'm sure those who do will. To laugh with your girl, just have her feeling good about the male-female dynamic. I am sure she is ready for bedding after. Have her take charge and show you how progressive we all are in bed.
Whoa.
I also saw Star Trek Beyond in 3D.
Okay.
It was super fun.
Yeah.
I like the Spock and McCoy dynamic. I didn't notice it before, and it gave a lot of fuel for laughs.
Uh-huh.
Which Peg was writer injected a lot in the script. Again, sucked that Chekhov died freakishly. Not sure how I feel about them doing more without him. If you didn't read the new and saw the Sulu gay moment, would you recognize it as such? Hope to see you in November.
All right, lots of unpack there. First off, again, rest in peace, Anton Yelkin. For sure, we agree on that. Another reference to that. The whole gay, the Sulu gay thing, barely, which was such a throwaway.
It was a throwaway. I got it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was very obvious.
Exactly.
When he ran up to the dude with the little girl, and they're like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I got it, but like you said, it was totally a throwaway thing.
Like, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
didn't have to happen one way or the other. It's cool that it is okay. So Sue's gay.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's important for social reasons and social acceptance, and I'm totally cool with it. But movie wise, it didn't fucking matter.
No.
Also because, like, is it also because George Takei himself is gay that they were like, let's make Sue a gay?
Maybe.
Like, you were gay? Because George Takei was like, I'm kind of against this.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. It was a weird thing. He also said, well, he said something else before about the part about seeing you in November. I don't know what that's all about. What's up, Ron? See you in November. What, something about after Anton Yelchin. Oh, and then the gay, and then Anton Yelchin, and something before that.
Simon Pegg as a writer injected a lot of it into the script.
I did feel like, especially early on, I felt like Simon Pegg, some of his humor, especially some of his like buddy comedy thing with the Spock and Bones and with Kirk and Scotty and stuff like that. I totally felt like, oh, I can sense the Pegg sensibility.
And then he said, hope to see you in November.
I don't know what that means, but okay, cool, brother.
Maybe he's coming to town.
That'd be cool. I would like to see him. I haven't seen you in forever since like I ran into you at a soccer game, I think. That's how long ago it was. Before OC was the MLS team.
Yeah.
Before OC was MOS. People who don't know what that means are like, what the fuck? These guys are throwing out initials. Is that... Anyways.
And last but certainly not least, Ron got it this one last time.
Oh, what's up, Ron?
He asks, how do I sponsor the next TV talk?
Send us money.
I would love to have Chris and the handsome Drew watch the review Steven Universe at least to season one. With the latest episode, talk about animation and its value. I would love to hear your thoughts of this progressive and smart show disguised as a kid show, and I am willing to put my Cali money where my foot is.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I guess he wants us to watch at least season one of Steven Universe.
Handsome Drew, do you want to start watching Steven Universe?
Sure. I mean, I'm always down for cartoons.
What network is that on? Is that Cartoon Network?
It's got to be, yeah.
So,
I've seen previews for it, but, yeah. I mean, he says it's a progressive and smart show disguised as a kid show, and that's... From the animation style and the marketing that they put behind it, I was convinced it was a kid's show, and that's why I wasn't watching it.
And you weren't watching it.
Yes.
And Ron would like us to watch it.
Yes.
At least a season one.
Yeah.
And he's willing to sponsor a whole episode.
Yeah.
When you were in Colorado, you could have found a way for the sponsor. But anyway, I guess always still kind of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Still.
But still, I mean, that's...
Things will change soon.
Yeah.
We'll just check it out. We got a talking TV episode that we're doing soon because we got a lot of TV to talk about. We're gonna like be plowing through that shit. So we might as well. We'll check out. We can't guarantee we'll do a whole season. We'll check out a couple episodes of the Steven Universe.
Maybe we should give him a number of episodes and he could curate it for us.
So we'll just watch because we'll just watch the show, and if like 2-3 episodes in, we're like, eh. No, we'll just be truthful about it.
Whatever you say, dude.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
And that way, see, then he's not, like, sponsoring the episode. We don't feel beholden to be like, oh, we gotta say this episode's good because the guy wants to hear that, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
I feel you.
Handsome Drew?
Yep.
Pick it up when I'm throwing it in.
Woo!
Handsome Drew and the Lemonheads?
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to see your band play debut Volume 3 at the Beecham. That's gonna be such an awesome show. It's gonna be great. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it, dude. All the input you got, you guys, all you guys that send us emails and tweets and Facebook posts and stuff, you're the best. We appreciate it. That's the Vox Populi, I believe. Is that right, Drew?
Yes, sir.
That means it is movie time, movie news time. Not just movie time, movie news time. I have them see. I'm going to put this down. I'll pick this up. And we're going to talk about these movie stories real quick. First off, you know how like they just did Grease Live.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and what was one before that? Peter Pan, I think, the year before that they did. It was on TV. I think they did Sound of Music, maybe, or something the year before that. Live TV, just the concept of live television, which they don't do very often.
Oh.
And you know how it has that like that cheap look where it's almost like you're looking at live Broadway.
It's because it's live.
It's live. So
it's just the cameras they use in the process. I get it.
The camera is set.
Yeah.
You got the stage. People are going to move around on the stage. Maybe the camera will move a little bit back and forth, but it's not like you're...
Yeah.
Even when they edit back and forth, it's like the sitcom three camera setup type of deal, mm-hmm. right? So it has that just TV look.
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay.
Director of
The
Conversation.
Yes.
The Godfather Trilogy. Yes. Apocalypse Now. Uh-huh. Bram Stoker's Dracula in the 90s. Lately, the movies he's been making are like super low budget indie films, digital films like Tetro and Youth Without Youth. Really weird movies. He just did a three and a half week workshop at UCLA Film School, his alma mater.
Okay.
Called Live Cinema.
Okay.
Imagine this, Drew. Imagine you're watching, you put on NBC and you're going to watch a live, you're going to watch a live, that was my pop screen hitting the microphone. People are like, what the fuck is going on? My English is already empty over here, is what's going on.
This is getting worse by a second.
Don't worry about it. We're fine, because this is fascinating. Imagine turning on NBC and you're going to watch a movie, a live movie that includes like editing, special effects, blue screen effects, like very complicated camera movements, not just filming a stage, but like cameras moving down hallways.
Watching a live filming of a movie.
Yes. Yes. So,
and all that entails.
A movie being filmed from start to finish in real time, but with in-camera effects live on TV.
That sounds extremely difficult.
Doesn't it? It took him. It was a 26-day workshop, and on the 26th day, they did a closed circuit TV screening of this thing that they were working on for almost a full month. That included a crew of 100 people.
Yeah,
Francis Ford Coppola at a you know, like a production truck type of thing, mm-hmm. set up like a new setup where he got a bunch of monitors. And he's got the headphones. He's like, camera one, camera two, do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. Calling the shots live. And there's an EPK out there that you can find. It's like 8 minutes long. And you can see some of the stuff that they're doing. And look, it looks very... Like one character, like a kid was like falling down a rope. And it was like the blue screen. And then you see them replace the blue screen with a backdrop of a city. It's like, oh, shit, looks pretty good.
No.
You know? It's very interesting. It's a possible future of entertainment. Live cinema. What do you think about that?
I think reality TV is going to take it over.
Reality TV, reality TV's had its day, I think, man.
You think so?
For the most part. I mean, it's going to be around.
It's never going to leave.
It's forever going to be a subgenre of TV.
Yes.
But it's had its, like, heyday.
Until this comes around.
No. You think so? No, this takes rehearsal. This takes time. Like you said, like you noted, this takes pre-planning to make sure everyone's hitting their mark for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. Make sure everyone's doing what they got to do to make sure that this works. Which it is possible.
Well, I mean, they already do it on stage. There's a thing called live performances.
Yes, yes.
So they already do that. All they have to do is figure out the way that the extra production goes on around it.
Right.
You know, how the camera moves, what it, you know, the editing, the blah, 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 blah.
It's just multiple sets, multiple stages.
Exactly.
The timing and of everything.
And your stages are moving, too, so.
Yeah, that too. People working, the production design working, A lot going on. That's why it takes a big crew, a lot of rehearsal. Is it worth it?
We'll see.
We'll find out in the next few years. It's a possibility.
You know, I mean, in the end, it's all worth it. You just have to find the right story to tell.
Very true. With the right story, anything is worth it. Yeah. Anything is worth it. Very true. Netflix. With the Marvel. The Marvel series the way that they're talking about it now. They got Luke Cage coming out end of September. Iron Fist coming out sometime end of this year. No, it's coming out sometime next year. Iron Fist. The Defenders. So it'll be Iron Fist early next year, The Defenders later. Yeah. That's the two series coming out next year. Mm-hmm. That means we won't get season two of Jessica Jones and season three of Daredevil until at least 2018.
But that's because they're going to be fired around sporadically through all this other nonsense. I mean, The Defenders is...
Yeah, it is. It
a
is.
Daredevil show and a Jessica Jones show combined into one.
With Luke Cage.
With Luke Cage and the Iron Fist.
100%.
Or, I mean, yeah.
And they haven't even announced production. They have announced seasons that they're definitely doing it, but not production start dates or anything. And all this stuff is years down the road now. Sure. But they're looking at... Now we're looking at a Netflix Marvel thing being like a year-long... I mean, we got the whole Disney Netflix deal going on, where Netflix is supposed to be the official sole home of streaming Disney entertainment.
Which is fine, because Disney owns fucking everything.
They own everything, except the Wizards of Star Wars stuff. That's the thing. That's still up in the air, weirdly.
Yeah.
Thanks to Fox and other weird... Anyway, we're fine about that. Okay. Making of Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Harrison Ford.
Sure.
Very publicized story about a hydraulic door, I think it was, on the set for the Millennium Falcon. A door being activated when it wasn't supposed to. Harrison Ford was under it. The door hit his leg, broke his leg, right? And he was in the hospital for a while. Script had to be rewritten, et cetera, et cetera. Because this happened in the UK at Pinewood Studios, there was a lawsuit, and the court just found the company behind the special effects and all that. They found a company guilty of negligence.
Libel.
And in their testimony, their findings, whatever, they were like, this company, they could have killed Harrison Ford if it wasn't for this one safety mechanism that was on at the time. If it was off, Harrison Ford could have been dead. Star Wars could have literally killed him.
Yeah.
That got me thinking. Who has died? Who has died making movies?
A lot of people.
So I did a quick search and I found a list of 10 people, Drew.
Okay.
Who have died making movies for various reasons. Just off the top of your head, what would you think would be an obvious reason that people would die while making movies?
I mean, some sort of mechanical failure of some sort.
Okay, that's
what... The Lees.
Actually, can you think of any actors specifically that would have died? Can you think of any?
I mean, Jason Lee, right?
Brandon Lee. The Crow.
Yeah.
Most famous one.
Yes.
We've talked about that on the show before. The whole process of him getting...
Unfortunately
being shot on set of his movie. Yes. What I was getting at was a lot of people have died from heart attacks.
Okay. Just like on set.
Yeah.
No.
It was bad health. Red Fox... Who, ironically, when he did his show, Sam Vincentis, he was like faking a heart attack.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm coming home, that whole thing. On the set of a movie in 1991 called The Royal Family, he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then he died. It was very sad. No, that's something different. This guy, Roy Kinnear, this is actually kind of weird. He was making the movie The Three Musketeers in 1988. He was an older fellow. He was in his 50s, mid-50s. And he got injured on set.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the hospital. Had a heart attack in the hospital the next day.
Ah.
Died. Yeah. He was dead. Also, having heart attacks and dying on set, we have... Oh, that's a crazy story. I'll come back to that one. That's also a crazy story. I'll come back to that one. John Ritter.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily have a heart attack, but he did have a rip in his aorta.
Okay.
That's like a congenital deal.
Okay.
That he was unaware of when it happened.
Okay.
And he was ill for a few days because of this rip, and then he collapsed on the set of a movie, taken to a hospital, died. Close to a heart attack. Tyrone Power. 1958. This guy was a movie star in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. He had a heart attack on the set of his movie during a fencing scene. So heart attacks happen, right?
Yeah.
And then there's Steve Irwin, Crocodile Hunter. He was making a documentary when he got stung in the chest by a stingray. And he died. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this one. This fellow's name is Paul Mance. This is from... He had a career in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and he was a stunt plane flyer.
Okay.
Airplane flyer.
Yeah.
Where do you think this is going, Drew?
Airplane crash.
100%.
Or maybe heart attack, which caused airplane crash?
Wouldn't that have been... doesn't say that happened here, but that would have been great. No, he was work. He actually came out of retirement, which hurts, to make this movie Flight of the Phoenix. And he was flying an airplane. His job was to fly a biplane over a desert. Flew it a little too low, hit a dune like hill. Plane disintegrated. Boom, he died. Came out of retirement just to die.
Poor bastard.
We are talking about Brandon Lee. Mm-hmm. This one is a crazy story. Martha Mansfield.
Okay.
No one knows her name. No. She's a silent film movie star. So we're talking 19-teens, mm-hmm. 1920s. Yeah. She was making a movie in 1923, November 23, called The Warrens of Virginia. The classic film, Warrens of Virginia. I'm just going to read it, what it says here. And what can only be described as a freak accident, a passerby lit a cigarette and flicked the match into an automobile in which the silent film star was sitting between takes. The match landed on Mansfield's costume, which was a giant, highly flammable Civil War era dress that went up in flames. This is as per Death and Taxes. Mansfield died in the hospital the next day, November 30th, 1923, from severe burns.
So basically a lit match flew in her direction.
She was sitting in a car.
Her costume was flammable. It went up in flames. She got burned and died.
Yeah.
That's why you don't wear flammable dresses.
Isn't that a crazy bummer?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard this story. John Eric Hexum.
Okay.
Heard of this guy?
Nope.
1984. He was making a CBS TV series called blah 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 blah. What's his name of it? Cover Up.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just, I just gotta read this because it's so crazy. He played Mac Harper, the Green Beret turned model.
Okay.
In the TV show that delved into international mystery and fashion photography.
Okay.
According to Entertainment Weekly, Hexum had been napping on October 12th, 1984. I don't know why that detail means nothing. According to Entertainment Weekly, on October 12th, 1984, during delays in filming, Hexum learned there would be more delays. He jokingly picked up a 44 Magnum pistol loaded with blanks. Said, "Can you believe this crap?" Put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. The blast of the blank fractured his skull, which drove a bone fragment the size of a quarter
through his brain
into his brain, causing massive bleeding. Rushed to the hospital, surgery was performed. He remained comatose, pronounced dead 6 days later. That's the story of John Eric Hexum. Cover Up, the show. About a fashion photographer and veteran special forces officer who went on missions around the world, continued production with a new actor, but never made it past the first season. There you go. What do you think of that, Drew?
Poor bastard.
Poor bastard is one thing to say. That's one way to look at it, poor bastard.
That's why you just don't do stupid things. I mean, that was an ignorant move on his part.
Do not put a gun with blanks to your head and pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Not a smart move.
No.
Not a smart move. Final story, Drew. Final guy. The most epic one, most famous one, I think. This is the one I knew about. This fellow named Vic Morrow.
Okay.
This is from 1982. Mm-hmm. It's the Twilight Zone, colon, the movie. It's the first segment of the movie. This dude, played by Vic Morrow, he's a bigot, he's a racist. He leaves a bar and he stumbles through time, through different periods of racism. He experiences the race, wherever he goes, people don't see him, they see whatever it's like. In Vietnam, American soldiers see a Vietnamese dude. Yeah, yeah. So they're like trying to shoot him. He's like, no, 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 right? He experiences racism. Yeah. Originally, the way the scene was written, he came across two Vietnamese kids that were about to be mowed down by American soldiers. So he picks up the two kids and runs them through like some swampland to safety. And that was supposed to be the redeeming moment of the character. He learns not to be a racist and save people, right? And what happened on the set was also the point was that American soldiers were chasing them and a helicopter was going to be chasing him. So on the set, there were pyrotechnics set to blow up. and there was a helicopter on set that was going to hover at 20 feet. Mm-hmm. They had him running through the water that was knee deep, holding two kids in his arms, and he's like a 50-year-old man, right? The pyrotechnics blow up, severing, fucking up the tail of the helicopter. The helicopter then pitches forward. The blades hit the water. They hit him and one of the kids, decapitating them both.
Sounds about right.
The second kid gets crushed by one of the helicopters, like landing, like the stanchions or whatever. The second kid's crushed to death. All three of them dead. Sweet. On set. And then it comes out later that the two kids were there illegally, like it was against union rules because they were shooting in the middle of the night when they weren't supposed to. A lot of under-the-table shit was going down. It was bad. It became a really bad situation.
Sure?
It was crazy. So if you go to YouTube, you can actually, there's footage of that moment, which you can see. If you want to see a couple people, a bunch of people die.
Yeah.
If you want to see three people die, a horrible movie, accident, and grainy footage, you can search that on YouTube. And or you can just watch the Twilight Zone, the movie, and marvel that the movie actually came out.
There you go.
And the segment, the segment's finished. It's like, oh, I don't know how they finished. They filmed the way they filmed
somehow,
it.
Somehow they finished it.
They worked around it. They worked their way around that plot point, not having to do that in the movie anymore. Like someone threw a grenade and he flies out and he ends up in a Nazi train car and it takes him away and they just like hurry up, get to the next segment of the. It's all about the George Miller Nightmare at 35,000 feet one. With John Lithgow?
Yeah.
That's the best one. Anyway. Yeah. So I figure, you know, on that awesome note. I figure on that awesome note, Drew, you know what?
What?
I did not. I'm sorry. I did not mean to hit that
loud.
You know what? You know what, Drew?
What?
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Drew, I got some questions. How about some answers? You ready?
I'll give you some answers.
Number one, Bush versus Dukakis. Who you got?
Neither.
How many hot dogs could you eat in one sitting?
Six.
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
Yes.
If mixing yellow and blue makes green, what do you get when you mix polka dots with pinstripes?
Something really ugly.
Can you name five actors in Pulp Fiction?
Uma Thurman, Samuel L. Jackson, John Travolta. We got ourselves some Chris Walken and some Bruce Willie.
What is your favorite direction? North, east, south, or west?
South.
Lincoln Logs or Duplo Blocks?
Lincoln Logs.
Should toddlers do weight training?
No.
Vape lounges, a dumb idea or the dumbest idea?
The dumbest.
Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, which one do you kick out of the hot tub?
Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. God damn it. Doesn't matter. I still don't have a chance, Batman.
Jeff Goldblum, yay or nay?
Say what?
Jeff Goldblum, yay or nay?
Meh.
Ooh, controversial. The 90s are back. Do you care?
Nope.
Podcasting, a waste of time or the biggest waste of time?
The biggest.
Fallon, Kimmel, Colbert, who do you kick out of the hot tub there?
Fallon.
Does eating pizza before bed cause nightmares?
No.
Witches, real or not real?
Of course.
Bitches, real or not real?
Uh-huh.
Is Wahlburgers just Mark Wahlberg's way of getting Paul and Donnie out of his hair?
Yes.
Would you rather die in a tsunami or a volcano?
Volcano?
What one piece of advice would you give to a newborn infant?
Prepare yourself. It's brutal out there.
Is Donald Trump A, sentient garbage made flesh, B, an internet comment section come to life, C, a nightmare sprung from our collective subconsciousness?
D, all of the above.
2, cake or pie?
Pie, and 3, you know that.
3, Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
4, Clint Eastwood, Robert Duvall, Gene Hackman, who do you kick out of bed?
Duvall.
Should Apple provide a backdoor to the FBI for their iPhone encryption?
No.
Number 6, puppies or kittens?
Kittens.
Number 7, can robots become depressed?
Yes.
Number 8, would you rather be able to fly but only 1 mile at a time, or be able to run like the Flash but you are constantly sweaty?
I'll take flying 1 mile at a time.
Number 9. No, that doesn't. Numbers don't matter.
I was about to see how many fucking questions I've answered.
Sunglasses or sundresses?
Sunglasses.
What was the last thing you bought from IKEA?
I don't think I've ever bought anything from IKEA.
What do you rather have to deal with, hurricanes, tornadoes, or blizzards?
Hurricanes.
Open carry or Jim Carrey?
open.
Is pop music A, government-sanctioned earworms designed to keep us distracted? B, the auditory syphilis corkscrewing into the collective brain of our youth? C, harmful messages of compliance, unchecked open market capitalism wrapped up in airy bubblegum pink mainstream art?
D, all of the above.
4, what's up with porta-potties?
They're stinky.
Number 5, the Terminator, Robocop, C-3PO. C-3PO, who do you kick out of the sauna?
Ooh, the Terminator.
Name 3 ice cream sundae toppings.
Maraschino cherries, chocolate sauce, and whipped cream.
The NFL, the NBA, or pro wrestling, which is the most rigged?
Pro wrestling.
Can you fake a kung fu fight?
No.
Is Benicio del Toro turning into Brad Pitt, or is Brad Pitt turning into Benicio del Toro?
It's both, actually.
Is Richard Simmons okay? Should we send someone to check on him?
No, we should not. He's fine. And if he's not, nobody cares.
Bloodsport or kickboxer?
Bloodsport.
Are jumping jacks worth it?
No.
How do you like your spinach?
Wilted.
What was your favorite video game when you were a kid?
Probably Zelda.
How do you feel about grammar and syntax?
I appreciate them both.
Why are stickers sticky?
Because there's adhesive on the back.
Think of a color.
Okay.
Is it blue?
Yes.
Where's Waldo?
Behind the couch.
Who shot JR?
Jesus.
Why? What do you think about the legitimacy of transubstantiation?
It is legitimate.
You think so?
Yes.
Body of Christ compels you. Edward Scissorhands, Captain Jack Sparrow, Willy Wonka. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
One more time.
Edward Scissorhands, Captain Jack Sparrow, Willy Wonka. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Scissorhands all the way.
Iced coffee or iced tea?
Tea.
Are you superstitious?
No.
Viva la blank.
Rasa.
Explain the purpose of life in 5 words or less. Nope. 3.
No.
2. 1.
Eternal oblivion.
Oh, there you go. Where's the beef?
In your pocket.
Why are there still newspapers?
Because people don't have internet connections.
Which holiday could you do with that?
All of them.
What do you call Taco Tuesday on a Friday?
Taco Friday.
What's the deal with airline food?
Oh, apparently it tastes different at that high altitude.
Oh, shit. Oh, are there any more questions? No. Juicer Cogburn.
I think that was the longest lightning round anybody's ever done, Chris. You give
us I think it was.
And I answered probably like 50 questions, though.
That was a lot of questions. Oh, that's not what I wanted this one. That means you get something out of the prize bag, Drew. Take out the prize bag. What do you want? Take whatever you want out of there. What are we getting? What are we getting? What are we getting? Drew's looking through the bag. Drew's looking through the bag. Drew's looking through the blue bag. Drew's looking through the red bag. He's got his hands in there. He's looking at the different ephemera.
I don't want any of this shit.
Drew doesn't want any. He rejects. He rejects that Crespo Diso swag baggery. I reject your opulence. Thank you, Drew Sikogburn.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back with episode 180-something next week. Be cool to each other, break up the big banks, and send us money. Fuck the banks. We'll hold your money for you, but don't expect it back. Right, Drew?
Right.
person in your life, like a so-called friend.
The world's worst DJ, ladies and gentlemen.
Wishes behind your back, they did. Yeah, this goes out to them. You know who you are.
Stickers at work today. I gave out some stickers at work today.
So my sous chef was asking me about podcasts. He was like, hey, where can I get it? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'll send you a link. And I forgot to. So instead I brought up stickers. And I was like, hey, dude, here's some stickers for you. Check the internet for the cinema for speed so you can get a this. It was like, awesome, dude. I'm gonna put this on my laptop when I get home. I was like, by the way, I designed the sticker. He was like, oh. He didn't know I did grab it to that one.
Fuck yeah.
So, I don't know.
Fuck yeah, you grab it to that one.
That's my work, bitch.
Fuck Kevin. The guy that is, can you sticker?
I know.
Can you for Kevin?
Can you for Kevin?
Can you for Kevin.com?
Yeah, can you for Kevin?
Can you for Kevin.com?
KittyForKevin.com. How was that?
KittyForKevin.com.
.com.
.com. Hello, Satan. See you in this world, come
on.
Let's do it. You do it. Chop, chop, chop. Chop, chop, chop. Chop, chop your head off. Why? With an axe. Oh, no.
Because metal. Hail Satan.
Because metal.
Because metal.
Because metal. Because metal. I'm trying to speak with a deep voice.
You can't do it with this filter on.
I'm trying to speak with a deep voice.
No, now you just sound
bad. This is my deep voice.
You sound like you have cancer.
That's how they record.
No.
Alright, you ready?
This is what it sounds like.
When you're in the quantum realm.
Ooh.
You're all
around.
Sounds like a really awful place.
Everything is just geopolitical patterns.
Hashtag not cool.
All right, let's fucking do this, man.